saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Green 19 podcast. I'm Dominique Gates, joined as always by Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein. Day one of the 2026 NFL draft is in the books. No major surprises, no reason to waste a whole lot of time into that because a lot of focus moves to Friday as the Packers will begin making picks and the 52nd overall pick. As of now, that is the plan. But we can just kind of take a quick second and just kind of run through this Thursday from whether it's the NFC North picks or just what we saw. Ryan, I'll let you start it off. Just any observations at all just kind of watching the draft?
You know, Brian Gutekunst spoke a few minutes with us at the end of the night, and he looked like someone who had just gone to the dentist without Novocaine. Like, he clearly did not enjoy this evening, but he also understood that to get something in this league, you have to give up something in this league, and there are no regrets, right? And if I think it's interesting, what stood out to me the most is, what did the Dallas Cowboys do with the 23rd overall pick? They drafted UCF edge defender Malachi Lawrence. Would you rather have Micah Parsons or Malachi Lawrence? As a player goes, it's no contest even with Micah Parsons coming off the torn ACL. The Cowboys used the pick they got from the Packers to start replenishing the edge depth that they lost with the Parsons trade. So the NFL's a circle. All these things are connected. Brian Gutekunst said that tonight went exactly how he thought it would go, which in his words was not productive. But in any draft, it's interesting to say they only gave up the first-round pick this year and next year, but they only gave up the first-round pick. Now there's an entire draft to do, and in any draft, yeah, you want to hit your first-round pick, but it's the totality of the draft. It's the second, third, fourth round. They have to go get players in those rounds just like any other year. If they didn't, if they got one good first-round pick in another year, but they whiffed the rest of their draft, that's not a good draft. So they have the totality of their draft now, and that's what's going to determine how much better they get.
Spoon?
You know, there were eight trades, and, you know, the Packers made none of them. I don't think that's a surprise. But I wonder what it's going to look like tomorrow when, you know, there's a lot of – to me, there's – top of the draft has always got skimmed, but it seems like there's a lot of guys who are going to be kind of the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And certain people, I think, are going to move up and move around and try to find that guy that they really like. I honestly think that Gutekunst will be all right if he just stays where he's at and lets it kind of come to him. I don't know. You know, there wasn't a run on corners, so that's still an availability. There could be one at the beginning of the second round that could start. It's also possible that, you know, we'll start to see a run on edges. There weren't that many edges taken. There just aren't that many good defensive tackles to take. So, you know, when it comes to their his pick down at 52, I still think he can get a good player. I just don't know if it's going to be a need player. You know, like I said the other day, I still think it could be a running back.
Yeah.
The reason why I think that they could be in good position at 52 is because it's not like it's one or two ways that they can go with that pick. There is a lot that Brian Gutekunst could do, bring in a player from several different positions that if it's the right player, they can get better as a football team. So when that's the case, okay, let's say there's a run at corner or there's a run at edge or somewhere else. That valve shuts off. There are still all these other avenues to make your team better that exist at 52. So to me, the more interesting thing, how patient can Brian Gutekunst be, the human element of that, because it's not easy to watch 51 picks get taken ahead of you. At some point, and Brian Gutekunst acknowledged this tonight, we're all itching right now to make a pick. That's very real. But in terms of just on paper, I think there are still a lot of avenues to open because they're not pigeonholed into one area where they absolutely have to hammer this or one or two. There's a lot of things that they can do.
Well, that's the thing. You're checking off the boxes in this draft. And as of day one, you were able to check off a box. You pretty much offensive tackles. It was with Fernando Mendoza and then a bunch of offensive tackles that went in the first round. And the Packers, at least right now, if you have Zach, Tom, Jordan, Morgan, and you have some depth, they feel good about that. Obviously, you could always add more, in particular in the interior. But you're not like a Detroit Lions of the world. Like, you needed to go get a guy like Blake Miller, which they did. So that's really how things really stood out for the Packers. So heading into day two, you can kind of wait and see how things play out.
Yeah, I mean, teams had to take these tackles because they're going to be, you know, they're gone now.
Yeah.
You know? And so the first round ended up being a tackle round. I don't know if that benefits the Packers at all. It benefits that, you know, a bunch of corners are still left there and a bunch of edge guys. But that might have happened anyways. I don't know if these teams were stretching for tackles or if this is just the way the first round kind of, you know, that's the way the talent fell. I think we'll know early on in the second round, like, what the action's going to be like. Are people going to start moving up, moving down, going back? I don't think Gutekunst should waste a pick, a future pick, on moving up in the second round. I think that all the future picks are worth too much. It's supposed to be a fabulous draft next year, one of the strongest in a long time, and he's got 11 picks. He's going to have 11 picks. He's got 7 now, and he's going to get 4 compensatory. So it's probably not a good idea to reach.
Yeah. Well, Brian Gutekunst said that point blank tonight. If I think it was Pete Doherty that asked him, if you'd make a trade day two, do you prefer to come in from 26 or 27? He said point blank, I prefer coming from 26. He wants to hold those 27 picks close to himself because he values what next year's draft will be. Now, he did say if it's the right player, if it's necessary, okay, but it's got to be the right player, which I thought was a very strong statement for what the value of a 27 pick is, which it goes all the way back to when they traded Rashawn Gary for a 27 fourth-round pick and not a 26 fourth-round pick. I think that's how he sees these two drafts. But to me, even if they're okay at 52 and they stay there, I wouldn't put trading up in the third round past them. I mean, that's almost as likely to me, if not more likely than the second round, depending on how the board falls. One other thing that I asked Brian Gutekunst tonight, because I was just curious where he was, when he goes to bed tonight, what's the feel that he has for the second round? And the reality is that he doesn't have much right now because 52 is so far away from 33. There's so much gap still. He said the first 10 to 15 picks tomorrow will start to tell him what that board's going to look like. He said first round, his board held up pretty well, but he doesn't really know until the first 10 to 15 picks tomorrow what that's going to feel like at 52.
Yeah, I didn't think there was any really major surprises like there are at times. But the board held up, you know, I felt fairly well, kind of like we expected it to.
We saw John Eric Sullivan his first time as GM in the draft. You saw what the Rams did, put Ty Simpson. You know, there were different things. I want to hear from both of you guys. Was there anything from day one that you were like, oh, that's kind of interesting?
Well, the Ty Simpson pick was really interesting. Mm-hmm. They set up, a Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers thing, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre thing. I'm sure that Sean McVay talked to LaFleur about, I'm willing to bet $1 million that he talked to him about what that, you know, kind of scenario is going to be like. The one thing they said, at least on the broadcast that I was listening to, was that McVay made sure he talked to Stafford first. Got a good lesson from what happened here in Green Bay, I think. And I think it's no coincidence that he had Stafford on the line before he took Ty Simpson.
You think that's the first thing Matt LaFleur told Sean McVay when he asked, tell your quarterback first?
Oh, yeah.
So that was really interesting to me. As far as the NFC North, kind of interesting that the Vikings went with Caleb Banks. Mm-hmm. He's a massive guy who can, man, if he's healthy, he will change things. I mean, he replaces Javon Hargrave. Yeah. But, you know, he's got a foot injury that kept him out all through the off season, and that's always kind of scary, especially when you're taking him at number 18. I think the Bears probably got a really good safety, you know, that in the line of some of the good safeties that have been in this division.
Yeah.
So, and Detroit got its tackle, which it really needed in a bad way with Taylor Decker gone. So, all in all, those teams all strengthened themselves. We'll see what the rest of the draft brings.
That really stood out to me when I was following the NFC North teams and how they went about it. I mean, like I said, they kind of got better, because I thought about even with the Bears bringing in, got the Oregon kid, Dylan Thinneman, and they got Kobe Bryant in the offseason. So you have like a playmaker at Super Bowl. You have a young guy. It's kind of like how they have Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams here in Green Bay. And then you'll have, for the Lions, Penei Sewell, one tackle. You'll have Blake Miller as another tackle. So, again, just a lot of smart moves, really.
The one difference, though, is that so the Vikings were replacing Javon Hargrave. The Bears are replacing Byard, mm-hmm. right, who's gone.
Yeah.
And the Lions are replacing Decker. And they fill gaps. That's really good for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the advantage the Packers have is those positions, all their starting positions are filled.
Yeah.
But they still need to get a guy who can push, you know, the guys that they do have right now. I don't think there's an open position on the roster, is there?
For the Packers?
Starting position?
Second corner.
I'm about to say, if
second,
you want to
yeah,
say that with Carrington
corner.
Or
no, that's it.
Benjamin St. James.
That's the only starting position on this roster that is open going into this draft. And depending on how Benjamin St. Juice comes out in training camp, it might not be open. I'm
Never
not
know.
Here saying that he's the starting corner, but he certainly has a chance to compete and win that job. It might not be open depending on that, but they're going to add depth there. I was going to say that about the NFC North. All three of those moves were directly made to replace something, because they're moving Penei Sewell in Detroit to left tackle. They
Now that they got this guy.
Well, they drafted a right tackle for a reason. Like, that is a move that says, Penei Sewell, you are now a left tackle. They drafted a right tackle there. They lost a safety, Byard, in Chicago, so they drafted a safety, which Byard was a big part of that defense last year, and that's a big hole.
Yeah.
So they're filling a big hole there. And then they lose Hargrave in Minnesota. They draft a defensive tackle. Like, each one of those moves is made because they replaced something. Whether they got better or not, we'll see how those three players are. Certainly, if they all come in and they perform like first-round picks, like you want from a first-round pick, you can say they got better, but that doesn't always happen. Yeah. Certainly not 3-for-3. So that will be interesting. But I thought that was the theme for the NFC North is – each of those teams drafted something to replace something.
That's true. But yeah, Caleb Banks, that's the one I'm curious about, because it's hard to have a big guy, a defensive tackle, coming off a foot injury, happened in the combine. And
right.
I mean, the report's what he might be back around minicamp, but I mean, those are tricky to deal with, especially on the defensive line.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a boom and bust, but I mean, if he's healthy and he's in shape and playing, he could be a force in the middle of their defense for a long time.
He's built like it.
When he played,
his measurables, man.
I mean, actually, I covered him at the University of Louisville, and then when he was at Florida, I mean, he only played, what, 3 games, and then he was hurt. But when he was out there, I mean, that's why he went to the portal and got paid by Florida, because he was really good
at
U of L. So, yeah, he can be a very dynamic, special talent. And they just have to keep him healthy. That's what it all comes down to with him.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see some of the guys. I left my list somewhere else who are left, who are starting to slip, you know.
Yeah.
The kid from Tennessee, the corner from Tennessee who's hurt, who had the injury last year and is coming back. He didn't get taken in the first round. But I would bet that he gets taken pretty quickly. I mean, that would be a guy you might take a chance on, to move up. I mean, he's really talented. He was able to run this offseason, and he's probably as talented as any corner. It's just that, you know, that injury is a question mark.
Here's the big question. Spoon, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you might have written about this. You say move up, and all eyes are going to be on that. I know we mentioned it, but how about John Eric Sullivan, the protege of Brian Gutekunst, making two first-round trades? That, like, this is a GM branch here that likes to move in the draft. It's like he learned something from all those drafts with Brian Gutekunst. We know Brian Gutekunst likes to move. How high can they get feasibly? Like, that's the question. Okay, can they get to 33? Can you get to 43? Like, what's the range where you're not giving up the farm? Because the first round was completely out of the question. And Brian Gutekunst just came in and said, like, we knew we weren't getting into the first round. You'd have to be a drunken sailor if you're Brian Gutekunst to somehow get into this first round. That wasn't happening. Where's that range at?
Well, I think the range is 10 picks. You know, I think you can give away. You have 2 fifths. You could use that. You may, if you really want to move up, let's see, the third pick is worth 50 points. I take that back. The second is worth 50 points. No, the third is worth 50 points. You know, that can move you up, but the number 33 pick is 180. So that's giving up your second and your third to go up and get Christian Watson like they did a couple of years ago, right? So I don't know if you're willing to do that, because you get that pick and then you don't pick until the fourth round. Yeah. So I don't know.
When do you start getting really keen on moving up if you're Brian Gutekunst? Like, what do you got to see in order to think, hey, you might need to go get someone?
Big run on the position you were hoping to draft. So you were thinking, okay, there's going to be 4 corners when we get to 52, and I'll be able to pick from there. And now all of a sudden, 2 of those corners are gone, and I better think about moving up and getting 1 of those 2.
And see, I would even say big multiple runs at multiple positions, because if there's a corner run, if I'm Brian Gutekunst, I'm still thinking, okay, I can get a defensive tackle nose. I can get some offensive line depth. I can get maybe a receiver. The running back out of Notre Dame is off the board, went 32 to the Seahawks. So maybe that's out of the question. But there's multiple areas here that I can feel good about in that at number 52 if I draft value-based need here. But if you start seeing corner and defensive tackle, if you start seeing these wells multiple positions dry up, then I start to think, okay, he might need to do something.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. And I don't know, especially, I don't know if maybe you just kind of, I'm growing on after hearing you talk about it earlier this week, but I do. I feel like there's going to be like a running back or something. Just something unexpected, because, I mean, you never know. Again, it might be like the Rams situation with the quarterback, like they're preparing for the future. Maybe that could be the case at running back for the Packers. Like, you need a guy who knows how long you're going to have Josh Jacobs.
Well, and what happens Marshawn if he gets Lord? Hurt this year? Yeah. And he's only good for 10 snaps a game.
That's a real need.
I mean, that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And you better have somebody to back him up. So, you know, there's a lot more corners than there are running backs in the draft. So I still think that's a possibility.
You know, second round is a little too rich when we talk value-based need. For me, for a receiver, it's a little too rich. I think there's other areas that if you get value, you might be able to improve yourself more. The top of your depth chart there is in pretty good shape. I'm not saying the bottom, maybe you can get better with depth, but the top of your depth chart is pretty good. That said, the Tennessee Titans had one of the big surprises of this first round, drafting the Ohio State receiver 4th overall, which not a lot of people had. And we were sitting next to each other when that happened. I turned to you. I said, "That's a team that loves this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like they think that he is an all pro type talent to do that. That with the intel they have on him, the amount of scouting they put into him, that's what they're saying there. So that's what we don't know. If Brian Gutekunst has, whether it's receiver or any other position, that we're not forecasting. If they make a move like that, they're saying we love this kid. We think that this kid's upside is very high, great value at 52 or wherever that may be. So that's always the thing to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, and, you know, they could use another big receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't, you know, they're other than Christian Watson, their guys are kind of the same.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, that kid from Tennessee who runs, you know, 4.3 and he's 6'4 and has a 40-inch vertical and he's kind of skinny and everything, but, you know, they need another tall receiver. Yeah. So that could happen, too. I don't know.
Like, are there any positions they could draft at 52 or in the second round that would shock you? Quarterback. I don't see quarterback coming in the second round. But other than that, like, there's not a lot of positions where they could – safety would shock me.
Yeah, unless you got a hybrid type guy, because Gannon loves those type of guys.
I would even say that's Javon Bolder. That's pretty hybrid right there. So, like, safety and quarterback. But other than that, just about anywhere, I'd be like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I kind of see it. Honestly, that's why I'm talking about multiple avenues. Yeah. You know, they have a lot of things that they can do there.
Yeah. Especially because, like we just talked about a minute ago, what's, like, the starting spot that could be open? It's like second corner. Not even the first corner, second corner.
Right.
So you kind of have some flexibility when you're putting this thing together.
And that's because they already filled second defensive tackle with Javon Hargrave in free agency. Like, that's the reality of their depth chart right now, is the top line is pretty covered almost every spot.
Yeah, but, I mean, obviously you got to make sure you have your depth because, yeah, they dealt with some injuries around here. So you got to be ready. You got to be prepared. And, you know, again, it's just – I'm just fascinated at how they'll deal with and manage. Is it just best player possible? Is it a positional need? Again, that's something that will be fascinating to watch. Will he trade up? Again, there's a lot that we'll be watching on this Friday. So be sure to follow along with us on Journal Sentinel, on PackersNews.com. We'll have more podcasts coming out this weekend and just a lot of analysis and reaction. So we thank you for checking out this really quick Green 19 podcast from day one of the NFL draft. From Ryan Wood, Tom Silverstein, I'm Dominique Yates.
What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new-to-you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.